الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نصيبا مفروضا. وقال تعالى في آية أخرى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers, beloved youth, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, when we study and look at our society today, locally, nationally, internationally, we find that our families are dysfunctional. We find so much fragmentation and disunity. There are several causes for that, but one of the main causes is the law of Islamic inheritance is neglected. Each one of us here today knows of instances where a family was united, but because when a certain person passed away, we find that entire family became fragmented, disunited to such an extent that today they are not even talking and speaking to one another. So therefore, in today's talk, inshallah, we will highlight the Islamic law of inheritance, the Islamic law of succession. We need to juxtapose and compare what Islam brought. When Mustafa alayhi salatu salam came, the law was only a person who would participate in battle, in warfare, was entitled to inheritance. Hence the women, hence the children, automatically disqualified. For you there is no share. Islam brought about a revolution through an evolutionary process. When Mustafa alayhi salatu salam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, in the initial phases and stages, Nabi alayhi salatu salam took the muhajir and the ansar. You the migrant and you the helper, you all are brothers. And if one passes away, the other one will inherit. This was a temporary situation so that the solidarity and unity of this ummah could be enhanced. Then Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the laws of inheritance. And my dear brothers, you will do yourself a great favor. If you go to an alim and you read the translation of Surah An-Nisa chapter number 4, verses 7, 8, right up to 14. It is such an important topic. It affects every one of us. Male, female, adult, child, poor and rich. No person can say, but I'm a pauper, I possess Zimbabwe dollars, hence it doesn't affect me in any way. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala states, Mimma qalla minhu aw kathur. Whether your estate is huge, millions and billions, or whether it is small, few hundreds of rain, remember the law of Islamic law of succession must apply. Nasibam mafrooda. The shares have been prescribed, ordained by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself. Let us see the mistakes we make nowadays. Alhamdulillah, I'm invited for lunch already, right? But let's say I come to your house after Jummah for lunch, and I ask you, brother, there's curtains here in your house, there's wonderful furniture, all this cutlery, crockery, to who does it belong to? You will see the husband look at the wife and the wife look at the husband. Both parties would smile, but we would not know who the owner is. That does not solve the problem, brothers. Each one of us, today, tomorrow, as soon as possible, we need an inventory. We need to know everything must have an owner. We do uplang business, and we do uplang dealings, and in our ownership also there is uplang. And that is one of the greatest causes. The son claims that it is mine, the daughter claims it's hers, the mother or the second mother, that is a stepmother, she will claim it's hers, and that is a recipe for a tug-of-war and a civil war in that family there. So first point we want to raise, brothers, is each one of us must have an inventory. What belongs to me, the father? What belongs to the mother? What belongs to each member of the family? That must be specified. Otherwise, it's a recipe for disaster. Number two, brothers, is many of us are running our family businesses. In our family business, I'm not saying any fatwa or passing fatwa, I'm looking at the reality. We have our wives, we have our mothers, we have our sisters working there, we have our sons working. What is their designation? Are they doing it because of love for you? Are they doing it because they are the employee? Are they doing it because they are the shareholder and director? All that again is uplang, and we don't specify and designate that. Again, another recipe for disaster. Third one, brothers. You know we live in South Africa. And alhamdulillah, that in South Africa we have different matrimonial regimes. You can register your marriage in different ways. I'm no politician, I don't belong to any party. But you must register it ANC. I'm not speaking of the political party. You must register your marriage anti-nuptial contract, ANC, without the accrual system. Then your Islamic will be valid. Otherwise, if you are registered COP, Community of Property, then remember that there are so many problems. People can go to court, and then you will find the whole family is again going to court, and there will be court cases and disunity, fragmentation within that family there. So these are three basic rules. Number one, each one have an inventory. Number two, that specify the position of every person, whether he is a shareholder, whether he is an employee, whether it is done on a gratis basis, just because of love and humanitarian grounds. And third one, ensure that our marriages are registered ANC without the accrual system. Now let's take a practical example, brothers. Remember, this affects everyone. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam said that a Muslim person should not wait yabitu laylataini illa wa wasiyatuhu maktubatun indahu. The hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif. We should not allow two nights to pass, but we should have our will and last testament written already. 1400 years ago, Mustafa alayhi salam is telling us, ensure that your wills are ready. Today we say, no, I'm healthy, I'm strong, and I will do it in the latter portion of my life. But tomorrow comes, we already history. Brothers, death is inevitable. Death is hovering above our head. Ask ourselves, how many of us have guarantee? Today time comes and time goes. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, faqihu hadhi al-ummah, when the sun would go down in Iraq, his students would look at him and ask him, why does your face become so somber and serious, O Ustad? This was the great giant among the Sahaba. He said, naqasa fihi ajali, wa lam yazid fihi amali. My lifespan on this earth is reducing and decreased all the time. Every time the sun goes down, one more day nearer to my death, one more day nearer to my grave. And my deeds, my righteous deeds are not increasing. That is why my face is so somber and serious. Imagine, brothers. So this was one way of looking at life, and one way is ours. Let's go on. Death takes place. Somebody passes away. My father, mother, anybody passes away. Rahimahullah. Kullu nafsin zaikatul maut. Now Islam teaches us. Today, what does the world say? Let me just raise one point here. Today, what does the mass media say? The mass media says, Islam cannot be the solution for the modern day problems of human beings. When we ask them, why do you say that? They say, Islam is a chauvinistic religion. Islam favors the men, and it is prejudice and bias against the women. And the easy example they will give of inheritance. You need to know the answer, and a convincing answer, brothers. They will tell you the father, mother died, left a son, left a daughter. The son would inherit 2,000 rand, the daughter would inherit 1,000 rand. Where is the justice? Where is the equity? What answer will we give? We will tell them your objection is 100% correct. But the problem with you is, you chose Islam selectively, not holistically. Number one, when Islam came, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam came, the women, children would not inherit. When the laws of Islamic laws of succession were completed, there were 12 categories of people known as Quranic heirs, Zawil Furuz. Break them down, the 12 categories. 8 of them are females and 4 of them are males. Subhanallah, brothers. Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, designated 12 categories of people. You're going to inherit quarter, half, and so much, and so on. From that 12, 8 categories are females, and 4 are males. So who's getting double and who's getting single? There is no need to apologize or compromise any law of Islam whenever we speak to any person. So know how the Islamic law functions, brothers. Nevertheless, death occurs. Then what happens? The burial expenses must come from the estate of the deceased. Whether it is the kafan, whether it is the hearse, whether it is the grave. If any person from that family or friends wishes to pay on their own accord, fine, it's acceptable. Now the second one, and see how we fail in this. The second one, brothers in Islam, is debts of the deceased. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam said, my father, my mother, our near and dear ones, that he will not enter Jannah. Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tughza anhu duyunuhu. That person's life would not enter Jannah until he or she's debts are paid. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. Brothers, today we consider it as our business acumen, as our shrewdness. Yen manse duert is anal manse bruert, if you know Afrikaans. One person died, another person inherited. The creditors are waiting. They say, bhai, what about the money my father, your father owned me, your brother owned? You see, bhai, he died with his debts. One Muslim person tells us, my father owed the Jews some money, so he died. So what must we do? We said, let's chow them up. That also is one type of jihad. What jihad is that? Absolutely haram. We eat up the wealth of non-Muslims and then we justify it, brothers. How can that ever be possible and permissible? So you must ensure. You see, today they speak of the global crunch, credit crunch. Remember, brothers, listen to the hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam made dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa dain. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from kufr and blasphemy and disbelief. And I seek your protection from debts. Sahabas were amazed and astonished. So waited dayna bil kufri ya Rasulallah. You took debts and you equated it with kufr. Qala na'am, he said yes. And we glorify the debts. I'm not saying debts and loans are not permissible. But definitely we will say it is discouraged in Islam, brothers. As far as possible, stay away. Don't fall in the trap of the capitalistic system. So number one, the funeral burial expenses. Number two, the debts of the deceased. And it means all the debts. That is the debts of human beings, whether we owe Muslim or non-Muslim. Number three, brothers, wasiyah. Wasiyah is for non-heirs. You want to bequeath to a masjid, you want to bequeath to a madrasa, you want to bequeath to your adopted children, you want to bequeath to your neighbor, non-Muslim. So remember, it's permissible. Because he helped you when you were in the doldrums. Remember, all that is permissible up to one third. Today, what do we do, brothers? Because people come to us for advice, we go through many worlds. A person wrote in the world, he's married now, and he wrote in his world a condition, the house, the money, all that goes to the wife. But if she remarries, then she forfeits the right of the house.
Can you have a condition like that? No. Remember, we cannot be dictating from the grave, brothers. That after the iddat, now she wants to get married. So fine. You can't make a clause like that, once tasted, never wasted, you know. So that finished, she must stay my wife forever and ever. Amen. It can't happen like that. Islam allowed her once, so how can you come and say that, no, I can't allow her. It's permissible for her to get married. So brothers, wasiya for non-A's up to one third. You cannot bequeath for the A. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam in Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj, the memorable khutbah delivered there, what he said, la wasiyyata liwarithin. You cannot bequeath for the A. So up to one third. So that's maximum. Yes, if all the A's are sane, they are mature, and no pressure is applied, and then they allow more than one third, then it's a different situation. You should consult the ulama. Fourth one is the shares of the A's. Brothers, this is of paramount importance. Let's take a case study. We have the father, the mother, we have three children. Now that husband and his wife are discussing the issue. Oh sweetheart, oh darling, after my death you will only get 1/8, 12.5%. Already you see her color changing. You mean I gave my life for you 40 years, 30 years, I'm only getting 12.5%? Already that wife has a big question mark on the authority of Almighty Allah. You mean my Allah, loving Allah, is only giving me 12.5%? Why didn't your husband tell her the other part? That during your lifetime, whatever you gave her is hers. So brothers, you are all husbands here, or you will become husbands shortly. First advice I give you is this. Make sure, during your lifetime, give your wife. And when I say give, not you promise her, sweetheart, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, that means nothing in Islam. Giving in Islam means she, the giftee, the person who's receiving, must take physical possession. So when you gave that money, she takes possession. You gave the house, you made the transfer. You gave the car, so you made the transfer. So that is what is meant. Just promising means nothing, brothers. So we need to ensure. We get phone calls. The wife says, my husband is such a bakhil and kanjus and miser. He does not want to spend 1 cent on me. So we have to tell her, bribe your husband up and say, oh honey, give some money please. So brothers, why we need all these things here? So we should be thinking ourselves. It's our wife, it's our children, so there's no kamal in that. So spend on the wife, spend on the children, give it to them in their lifetime. When you give in your lifetime, we don't say must, but we say preferable, you give your sons and daughters equally. That is the teaching of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, mentioned in Hadith Sahih Muslim, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Almighty Allah, وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ Exercise justice among your children. You gave a 10,000, 100,000 to your son, take the 100,000 cash or kind, jewelry or property, and you give your daughter as well. That is preferable and desirable in Islam. Brothers, 3-4 other mistakes we make. Number one, we are so disappointed with our son because Allah forbid, he didn't stay in the family business. Our daughter married somebody we weren't so happy with. What did we do? We deprived them, disowned them and said, for you there's no share in the inheritance. All out of spite. All to show them a point. What did Mustafa alayhi salam say? Man qata'a miratha warithihi, qata'a Allahu mirathahu min al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah. Whosoever cut off and deprived the share of the heir, Almighty Allah will cut off your share on the day of justice from Jannah. Do we want it, brothers? Just to show our son or daughter or wife or whoever. So that's the first mistake. Ensure, brothers, 5 people must inherit. The father, mother must inherit. The daughter, the son must inherit. The surviving spouse must inherit. Husband dies, the wife or wives. Those brothers, you got barakat in your house, you got 2, 3, 4 wives. Not only the old one is gold, all of them have to inherit. Second one is this. Many of us, we got our parents, but because we are madly in love with our wives, so we just forgot our parents, no share for them. Not permissible. So that's the first mistake we make. Second mistake, brothers, many of us, our worlds are such, totally un-Islamic. You know what Almighty Allah says of this? Surah 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse 14. Think about the consequences. I beg you, brothers. I plead with you. Go and revisit that well of yours. And look at Surah 4, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا. In the context of inheritance, the last verse in this ruku, Almighty Allah states, whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah, whosoever disobeys Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, you went beyond the limits. Allah said for the wife, 1/8. Allah said there's no children, then for the wife, 1/4. Allah said if you have 1 daughter only, no sons, then half. So these shares are designated. We say, I know better. I'm an intellectual. I'm an enlightened Muslim. So I'll give willy-nilly as I want to. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Almighty Allah dispatches that person to Jahannam and the fire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. If you take the literal meaning, it means forever. But because he has iman, she has iman, it means for a long, long period of time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For that person there is a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Do we want this, brothers? So please, brothers, my message to you is, each one of us, whether it's a male, whether it's female, whether it's rich, whether it's poor, ensure that our wills are according to Islam. Consult with your local ulama, and inshallah, they will give you guidelines on these issues. Brothers, next week Wednesday, all of you are aware, I come to the second part. Next week Wednesday, we all are aware, in South Africa is election day. This is Islam, brothers. Islam gives us the panacea and gives us the solution to all our problems. We know we're not living in a Muslim country. So those of you who want to vote, fine, you vote. Those of you who don't want to vote, remember there is no sin upon you that you don't vote. But what is a vote in Islam, brothers? That is what we need to understand. What does Islam teach us? Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, what a wonderful sentence he said. He said, if you have a Muslim ruler and he exercises zulm and oppression, Allah's help goes away. And if you have a non-Muslim ruler and the non-Muslim ruler practices justice, the help of Almighty Allah descends. That is the virtue of justice on this earth. What do we call our religion? Deen. Inna deena indallah al-Islam. Did we ever wonder, ponder, why is it called deen? Maliki yawmi deen. Inna deena indallah al-Islam. The religion of justice. The code of life of justice. Kama tadinu tudan. As you treat others, so will you be treated. So brothers, we need to remember, Islam is the only way of life. And that is what we need to teach people. Number one, I'm not here as a politician, I'm not telling you who to vote for. But when you vote, remember the three dimensions. Number one in Islam, it is a shahada. You are bearing testimony. You are giving witness. Ya Allah, according to me, this person, this party, ABC, XYZ, are the best party for us as Muslims. Hence, I am voting for them. Not ulterior motive because I can cut the deal and so forth. Remember, if we are giving shahada to Zur, it is false testimony. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam said, never mind kabira, a major sin, it is akbarul kabair. It is a major, major sin, one of the worst sins. Al-ishraku billah, where a person commits shirk, where a person commits uququl walidain, disobedient to one's parents. Shahada to zur, false testimony, false evidence. So first aspect when we vote, brothers, it is a shahada, we are bearing testimony. Number two, when we got married, our wife didn't come to the masjid, she appointed somebody as a wakil. So her father, her brother, her uncle, somebody came here to the masjid, and in that way there, then we performed the nikah. So we are making tawkil, we are appointing that person, that party, to be our representative, to be acting on our behalf. So that is the second dimension of voting. And third dimension, brothers, it is shafa'a. You know today people don't have jobs. They come to us and tell us, write a letter that you are telling that person there, this person is competent and he can do this job and do this work and so forth.
So we called it shafa'a, to intercede on behalf of that person. So when we vote, remember we are interceding on behalf of that party, on behalf of that person. We are not sure for who we must vote. Islam gave us a solution. That make istikhara. Istikhara is for everything that's permissible. So you read simple dua, Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. You don't have to see a dream. So, O Almighty Allah, whosoever you give me the best and give me the good, the best one. So you show me the best one and give me the right one. So Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Whatever Allah puts in our heart, and then you go. So in that way, we made a contribution to our country. Remember, brothers, we live in a country where we have wonderful facilities. If you go outside, there's crime. Or if you go outside, there's AIDS. If you go outside, there's so many problems. But we look at our masajid. We look at our istimas. Last week in Roshni, you were there. So many things are happening. So many ulama, so many darulums. In Muslim countries also, we will not have this. So let us see what positive role we can play. Remember Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, when he was incarcerated, put in jail. People asked him, how's things in jail? Look at the answer he gave. He said, "Batinuhu fihi rahmah, wa zahiruhu min qibali al-azab." Inside here for me was rahma and mercy, although from outside it seemed punishment. When people, we interact with them overseas, oh, South Africa, crime and this and all that. That's the picture they get. But we know the facilities we have. We know the goodness we have. Will it last? Only Almighty Allah knows. So brothers, remember that you decide what you want to do, but we must act responsibly and not irresponsibly. You are in Durban. Always I leave you with these two messages when I lecture here in Durban. And it is apt. You look at your ocean, and then you need to make your decision. What do you want to become? Do we want to become the water, or do we want to become the foam? The foam is on top. Almighty Allah states, فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءَ. As for the foam, and the bubble that is on top, that disappears, that is a symbol of falsehood. So today they'll come, make noise, politicians does that, promise us everything, and then they disappear. So that are the sign of falsehood. Me and you, brothers, the Ummat Muslimah, wa amma ma yanfa'u an-nas fa yamkuthu fil ard. We are the water. So how the water is an asset to humanity, take this water of Islam, the spiritual water, and then we touch the lives of others. And that is the challenge we have to rise up to. Allahumma jalna hadiyin mahdiyin. O Almighty Allah, make me a beacon of light so that we can touch the lives of others. Each one of us on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, let us make this dua. O Almighty Allah, use me for your deen. Make me the khadim of your deen. Make me a beacon of light. And remember in the starting I mentioned that we have to unite this ummah. So make sure our wills are right. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there are many A's. It must not happen just because of some wretched money, just because of some miserable property. We have severed ties and broken our family to pieces. That is not the shan. That is not the way a true Muslim believes. You should be the person to tell your brother, sister, well, man, give me less, you take more. As long as you're happy, then I will be happy as well. Go see the life of pious people. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, when his father passed away, he said, take all the wealth I'm supposed to inherit and give it away in charity or give it to the others. I am not prepared to take 1 cent. They asked him, oh Imam Ahmad, why? He said, one day my father made one deal, a transaction, and I was not happy with it. I don't know where that one dirham, where that dinar will go. It will go that side, or it will go this side. I don't want that money on which there's a question mark and is dubious. Therefore, rather you take it away. This were our Salaf Asali, our pious predecessors. May Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla unite our hearts. May Almighty Allah let us live with Iman and die with Iman. And make dua, brothers, for our beloved country. Allahumma aminna fi awtanina. O Allah, let peace and tranquility prevail in this wonderful country of ours. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.